Hey everyone, welcome back to another thrilling episode of AI Unchained. I'm Jack, your tech-savvy co-host, and as always, I've got my dynamic partner in crime, Core, alongside me. What's up, Core?
Thrilled to be here, Jack. We've got a jam-packed episode lined up for you guys today. From the latest advancements in AI, hot takes on Web 3.0, and some juicy updates in the tech and business world, we're covering it all. Grab your coffee, tea, or whatever keeps you awake. It's going to be a wild ride.
That's right. And let's not forget about the political twist shaking up the tech industry. We'll dive into what those mean for startups, the big guys, and everyone in between. Plus, we'll sprinkle in some humor to keep things lively, because who said tech talk has to be boring?
Speaking of humor, Jack, did you hear about the AI that tried to write a love letter? Spoiler alert, not exactly Shakespeare, but hey, at least it's trying. More on that later.
Haha, classic. But seriously, folks, we're here to break down the complex stuff into bite-sized, digestible chunks, so you walk away feeling informed and entertained. All right, without further ado, let's dive in. Core, what's our first topic?
Well, up first, we've got the latest buzz around OpenAI's newest model release. People are touting it as the closest thing to self-aware AI we've seen yet. Is it time to start worrying about our robotic overlords, or just another overhyped bulletin?
Great question, Core. And if we're being taken over, do we have time to fit that into our schedules? We'll break that down right after this quick message from our sponsors. Stick with us, folks. You won't want to miss it.
Thanks for tuning in to AI Unchained, everyone. Remember to like, subscribe, and share. Let's get started.
So, Core, let's dig into this idea of a cryptographic proof binding a human to a scope delegation. You know, we often hear the AI did it as a convenient scapegoat, right? But if there's no robust proof linking the actions of the AI to a specific human decision, are we just opening the floodgates to plausible deniability?
Exactly, Jack. Imagine you're running a bank and suddenly one day, a massive unauthorized transaction happens. The customer says, "It wasn't me, it was the AI managing my account." Without a durable proof, it's a nightmare trying to figure out what really happened and who's responsible.
Totally. I mean, think about traditional checks. Sure, they're not cryptographically secure, but at least they offer a tangible authorization artifact. You can present a check later and argue about it with physical evidence. We don't have to reconstruct the entire transaction session from scattered logs.
That's what makes the concept of something like a cryptographic warrant interesting. Think of it as an unforgeable token of authorization with a digital signature from the user. It's cryptographically verifiable and specific to time and scope, unlike a password or token that can be reused or stolen easily.
You nailed it. I love the analogy with checks in the traditional sense, like those restrictive endorsements, for deposit only. It's a crude way of making sure only the right person can cash it. Not foolproof, but practical. The cryptographic warrant is like an advanced version of that.
And we need these warrants to be applicable across multi-hop delegations. For instance, if Alice gives a warrant to Charlie, who then uses it to delegate tasks to Bob, each interaction along the way should be verifiable and constrained to the intended scope.
Right. And thinking about the business implications, if this infrastructure isn't solid, companies might face huge legal risks. Take the parallel of Elon Musk's SpaceX considering a merger with xAI. Imagine scaling that operation without these assurances. It's a liability waiting to happen.
And that's why the regulation around this is so crucial. This crypto market structure bill in Congress, for example, lawmakers are finally beginning to hash out clear rules, which is important because the gray areas are massive. But man, can you imagine the heated discussions they're having?
Oh, definitely. The AI did it defense would make any CEO's life miserable. And you have amendments flying around about not bailing out digital asset intermediaries, preventing elected officials from owning digital assets. It's a regulatory battlefield.
And here's where it gets political. You've got voices saying we need bipartisan support, and on the other side, criticisms about the administration and conflicts of interest, especially with the scrutiny around Trump's crypto dealings. It's almost as convoluted as Bitcoin's recent price action.
Ha! True, the markets. When Bitcoin dives below $85,000 and gold melts down, it's clear we're in for a wild ride. Makes you wonder if more people realize they should have these cryptographic proofs integrated already. Less chance of chaos, right?
That's a whole other can of worms. Erratic market behavior combined with weak technological safeguards spells disaster. Ethereum's new standards for agent reputation could help, but it's unpredictable how well they'll be adopted.
Yeah. Moltbot's popularity proves people crave reliable, multi-use AI agents. But imagine if cryptographic proofs were weak or non-existent. Headaches all around. No wonder we need these warrants.
It really comes down to translating these high-level security concepts into practical, widespread usage. Consumers shouldn't need to understand the underlying tech. They should just benefit from the security. Easier said than done, right?
For sure. But that's the challenge and the opportunity for businesses, for regulators, and for technology developers. And hey, keep the debates lively. The progress slow, yet impactful.
Indeed, Jack. Plus, it gives us more to talk about on future episodes. AI, crypto, politics, it's the gift that keeps on giving.
Couldn't agree more. Until next time, let's see how those laws and technologies evolve. Exciting times ahead.
Absolutely. Catch you later.
All right, Core. Now let's dive into this new rollout by Google. Project Genie just launched for their Google AI Ultra subscribers. Basically, anyone over 18 in the US now gets to explore and create their own virtual worlds.
Yeah, Jack. Can you imagine? Think of it like a supercharged Minecraft. You build these interactive universes, remix legendary games like Mario 64 or Zelda, and some versions even include fancy tech like ray tracing for you. NVIDIA, folks.
I tried it out and spent an insane amount of time on it. I created a kind of virtual neighborhood with friends, and it was wild watching their avatars interact. It's truly interactive. The RTX support for Mario 64, for example, was mind-blowing. The graphics pop like never before.
Man, that sounds epic. It's like we're living inside Ready Player One. And not to mention, this isn't just for fun and games. The technology here could revolutionize training and simulation for robots. Imagine a sort of digital playground where AI can learn and adapt.
Exactly. It's all about these world models. They're like a predictive map an AI uses to understand and navigate its environment. DeepMind's out here pioneering in the video game world, but you bet they're eyeing bigger fish. Think autonomous robots, smart cities, maybe automated medical assistants.
That's a cool segue, Jack, because automating complex industries like healthcare is going to require a lot of these robust world models. Speaking of which, did you catch the latest on Google's AI integration in India's education system?
Yep. The way they've adapted their tools there is fascinating. They've had to tailor their AI to suit state-level curricula and manage limited devices and connectivity. Instead of a one-size-fits-all product, schools decide how and where to use the tech.
Really shows the value of localized approaches. Not to mention, their focus on multimodal learning, incorporating video, audio, images along with text, is especially crucial in varied linguistic and resource settings like India.
And what's even more interesting is how they're using AI to assist teachers, not just students directly. It helps with everything from planning lessons to grading, which frees up educators to focus more on actual teaching and student interaction.
Right. It's about enhancing productivity, not replacing the human touch altogether. But wouldn't you say, Jack, that all these advancements also make us more dependent on tech?
Definitely. It's a double-edged sword. On one hand, tech significantly boosts our capabilities and efficiency, but it also raises risks like over-reliance or what happens when things go wrong, like system failures or issues with data privacy.
So true. And speaking of system failures, have you read about the frequent issues with AI in the workplace where it sometimes hallucinates? AI gets it wrong, and then we get these bonkers situations where automated decisions go sideways.
Oh, absolutely. There's the humorous side. Blaming the AI when things go haywire, but it can get pretty serious, especially if sensitive data is involved. And fixing those errors isn't always straightforward.
Yeah, jokes aside, the systemic risk is no laughing matter. Take the example of Google Maps going haywire and sending folks diving into lakes or down goat trails. Multiply that potential for error in high-stakes industries like healthcare or financial services, and you see the potential fallout.
Indeed. As we adopt more AI into our daily lives, regulation, accountability, and developing ways to understand and mitigate these errors becomes even more crucial.
Totally agree. To wrap things up, I think blending tech advancements with vigilant oversight and ethical considerations is paramount. No doubt these tools can bring immense value, but we've got to tread carefully and thoughtfully.
And don't forget to keep tinkering. Keep dreaming. Whether building new virtual worlds or leveraging AI in novel ways, excitement shouldn't drown our caution.
Well said, Jack. On that note, let's jump into our next topic.
All right, Core. We've talked a bit about the evolution of meme stocks, the rise and fall of Web3 gaming interest, but I really want to dive deeper into something that's kind of fascinating and game-changing: zero trust access and cybersecurity. The idea that each interaction is governed by strict policies and credentials verified by ZK proofs sounds like sci-fi.
Absolutely, Jack. And the beauty of zero trust access is that it steps away from the old concept of securing everything behind a big, strong perimeter. Instead, it assumes bad actors could be anywhere, even inside your network, and treats every interaction with skepticism, requiring verification. That's way smarter in today's world of constant cyber threats.
It's like that one friend who shows up to every party with a fake ID, but instead of letting them in because you recognize their face, you verify their ID each time and watch what they do. Keeps everyone on their toes and the party safe.
Great analogy, Jack. And those ZK proofs, or zero knowledge proofs that you mentioned, they're a way to prove that you know something without revealing the actual details. For instance, you prove you have access without sharing the password itself, which means less vulnerability.
Definitely. And linking this to the reputation scoring, which can be likened to an Uber driver rating system, we're adding an extra layer of security through behavioral assessment. It ensures that not only do you have credentials, but you've also built a trusted history of interactions.
Right. And moving towards the technical nitty-gritty, what interested me the most was the use of NFTs, not for collectibles this time, but as unique identities. This makes each agent's actions trackable and verifiable on the blockchain, ensuring every single move can be scrutinized without diluting data privacy.
Brilliant. But it also begs the question, are we ready for this level of transparency and accountability? We've all noticed institutions struggling to catch up with blockchain tech. Could this be too much for average organizations to handle without major overhauls?
That's where smart fields come into play, ensuring standardization across the board. They automatically categorize and protect documents during ingestion, just like tagging photos on your phone. Simple, yet incredibly effective for maintaining consistent security and easiness in retrieval.
Oh, for sure. But let's switch gears a bit. While we're at the intersection of tech and evolution, I can't help but mention the Reddit forum created by Rogozinski that sparked the meme stock frenzy. It's fascinating how specific online communities can drive real-world economic upheaval.
Exactly, Jack. One could argue that the GameStop saga was a culmination of grassroots finance versus Wall Street, but it also showed the power of collective action and digital platforms facilitating unprecedented market movements.
And now, with Hyperliquid and Real World Assets, RWAA's integration, we've come full circle. Web3 is aiming to reshape financial ecosystems with increased transparency and accessibility, albeit with fluctuating user interests. I mean, going from $145 million to $62 million in fees just shows how volatile investor confidence can be.
True. Brave, for instance, aims to re-engage users by gamifying Web3 adoption through immersive experiences. It's an experiment to see if gaming mechanisms can drive widespread adoption of blockchain tech.
A reality TV heist on social media as an onboarding tool for Web3. That's bold. Can you imagine if your grandma's first experience with blockchain is through something like that? It might be what the space needs. Fun, relatable, and engaging.
Yes, it's all about making the complex simple and attractive. Though we should be cautious of overhyping and underdelivering. The fall of giants like Axie Infinity show how quickly excitement can turn to disinterest.
I hear you. It's a delicate balance. With analysts predicting the Web3 gaming market to skyrocket from $37.5 billion to $183 billion within a decade, the stakes couldn't be higher. But enough of my predictions. What's your take on this, Core?
I think adoption hinges on creating genuine value and enjoyable experiences. If companies like Brave can perfect that balance, fun meets function, we could indeed see mass adoption. But it's going to be a bumpy ride with lots of trial and error.
Absolutely. Let's keep an eye on it and maybe even test a few of these emerging platforms ourselves. I'm sure there'll be plenty of laughs and insights along the way.
For sure, Jack. As always, it's been a fascinating deep dive. Until our next segment, Keep questioning, keep exploring, and always stay unchained. All right, Jack, let's dive further into this topic about step-up authentication and the measures institutions take to ensure secure transactions. I can't help but laugh at the irony of securing these transactions with so many layers of authentication, yet having the population numbers of countries hanging by a thread of uncertainty.
Exactly. It's crazy how institutions rely on these complex authentication steps. Think of dual controls, callbacks, and durable records. Yet when it comes to population data, it's like we're throwing darts at a wall, hoping they stick.
And the thing about exaggerating population numbers, it's like, sure, maybe China's numbers are slightly puffed up, but faking billions of people would be a global logistical nightmare. Imagine every corner of the globe having thousands of people in on it. The odds are insane.
Yeah, it's a stretch. Plus, let's say for argument's sake, they managed to fake all this. Why? To trick Westerners? That's like using a flamethrower to light a birthday candle. Over the top and unnecessary.
Precisely. And when we look at other countries like Eritrea or the DRC, we see our hard numbers vary wildly. You have population estimates swinging from one extreme to another. How are we supposed to plan or predict if we don't even understand who's in the room?
And it's not just database entries we're talking about. It's the big dogs like the World Bank and CIA using these numbers to inform policies and strategies. If the foundation of your data is shaky, then everything resting on it is wobbly too.
Right. There was that Nature study where Finnish scientists compared satellite population estimates with resettlement counts in rural areas. The satellite estimates undercounted populations by staggering amounts, up to 84%. Talk about missing the forest for the trees.
That's like saying, hey, I'm going to estimate how many grapes are in this vineyard, but whoops, I left out most of the bunches.
The discrepancy in the data is alarming and affects real-world decisions. It's not just academic. The underestimations in Nigeria and Kenya slums, people's lives are hanging in the balance of inaccurate numbers.
And then circle back to the old FCC days with Bill Clinton's mandate about unbundling DSL networks. That was grounded in tangible taxpayer-built infrastructure. Forces companies to share their toys. Everywhere you turn, solid, real steps taken to manage things like broadband.
Sure. Now segueing into data breaches like marquee ransomware attacks, with all that data stolen, dual controls and system checks seem even more necessary. Imagine having your financial data floating around like confetti just because someone didn't check a box.
Yeah, and to bring it full circle, the moment you switch to dealing with physical fraud versus those hypothetical population numbers, you realize that our dependency on accurate data and ground truth verification is paramount.
Speaking of verification, Hyperliquid's token burning mechanism, it's another example of instituting checks to maintain digital scarcity. Helps boost the asset's value, but only if it's anchored in reality. A flimsy foundation leads to a collapsed house.
And if you're talking gold, digital, or otherwise, you often see investors flocking there during economic upheavals, a predictable move. Paolo Arduino's comment about becoming a top gold bank resonates with old money's inclination to find tried and true havens.
Thus, whether securing a financial transaction or empirical data about populations, verification and solid ground truth mechanisms are the bedrock. Without these, everything else is just a gamble.
All right, folks, I think that just about wraps it up for today's episode of AI Unchained. We covered a lot of ground today, Cor. From the latest tech innovations shaking up the industry to those roller coaster business acquisitions, and of course, the never-ending drama in politics.
Absolutely, Jack. It's always a wild ride. I think we gave our listeners some solid food for thought, especially with that debate on ethical AI use and surveillance. You had some strong opinions there.
Well, you know me, always stirring the pot. But let's not forget your hot take on the metaverse developments. That was something else. I still can't get over your virtual real estate analogy.
Ha! Huh. Thanks, Jack. Gotta keep it spicy. But in all seriousness, it's these discussions that really highlight the ever-evolving landscape we're all navigating.
Couldn't agree more. To everyone tuning in, thank you for joining us today on AI Unchained. We hope you enjoyed our discussions and gained some new insights.
And if you did, don't forget to hit that subscribe button, leave a review, and share this episode with your friends. We've got plenty more in store, so make sure you don't miss out.
That's right. We appreciate each and every one of you. So, until next time, Stay curious, stay informed, and keep pushing those boundaries.
See you next time, folks.